Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. All right, Super Bowl update. Did your team win? First question, did your team win? My team won.
I guess if I had any skin in the game, yeah, I guess my team won.
I thought you won.
Yeah. Mostly I'm happy that Andy Reid finally got his Super Bowl ring. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer now.
All right, favorite Super Bowl commercial?
The one that was talked about the most at my viewing party was the Mr. Peanut Planters Peanut commercial. That was a weird one.
I like that one, but Bill Murray's. Bill Murray's.
Groundhog Day. Yeah. That was my favorite. Awesome. Freddie, did you have a favorite?
I go with Charlie on this one, yeah.
Did you like the Alexa commercial with Ellen? I thought it was clever. All right, before we get into some of the equity earnings and the model changes, let's just touch on what's going on in the economy right now, because this is really a shift in, I think, how we started the year. And I'm laughing because it only took a month to get to this shift. The economy, though, is showing underlying strength. The numbers that are coming out in the fourth quarter, I think, are pretty strong, but they mask the underlying weakness and the growing underlying weakness in the economy. So there are serious headwinds, and they include the spread of the coronavirus, which is weighing on global growth, and then also the Boeing shutdown, which we've talked about. This has weighed heavily on growth. And what we think is going to happen, we're seeing it with companies like General Electric and Spirit Aerospace that make the fuselage and the engines for the 737 MAX have had to cut productions and then furlough employees. So we're seeing companies increase layoffs. And this is a theme that we had starting last summer, heading into the fourth quarter, that we expected to see an increase in layoffs. So Zimmer, CNO, 3M, HSBC, Deutsche Bank, Ford all eliminated positions last year. The list goes on and on. This year already, we've seen Nissan, Cora, and Cummins announce layoffs. So we expect that companies will continue to reduce their headcount in order to protect profit margins in the face of declining profits. So that's kind of the theme, and we're seeing it on each company. Generally, it's small scale, except for companies like Ford. But it's going to run the gamut, where it's going to be a theme, I think, throughout 2020. And this is really a reflection of what's going on in the economy. We're seeing business investment decline, and we're also seeing oil prices down sharply the last month. So I think, Charlie, they're down 15%.
Yeah, and this is the worst start to the year since 1991 oil prices.
And so here's where the change takes place, is we thought the Fed would sit on the sidelines throughout the year, and I think this is going to force the Fed's hand. So they met last week, first policy meeting. They said, hey, the economy's strong, and acknowledge the coronavirus. But I really think that global growth is going to really be impacted, and we'll see a global coordinated monetary stimulus. So I wouldn't be surprised to see 25 basis points in the first quarter here, just to move in tandem. Now, Europe has negative interest rates, so to move further negative as a policy move is going to be controversial. Side note also, last Friday, Great Britain, it was final. Brexit was final, so they left the EU. But now Britain enters this next phase of negotiations with the European Union, which will determine the details of this exit. My understanding is it's supposed to last for 11 months. I think that's dog years in European talk. So I don't know the rules for extensions, but it appears that they continuously extend whatever they're doing. But we expect capital investment ultimately will increase during this, but this will become, I'm being told, highly political in terms of what they can do and what they can't do. And the uncertainty around supply chains and logistics we expect to be resolved. So with that, Freddie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Greg. So to get started on earnings, Starbucks beat by 3 cents. Global same-store sales were up 5%. Looking at China locations, they were up 3%, even with Luckin Coffee adding competition there. They had over a million U.S. customers joined their loyalty program, which was a 16% increase year over year. So solid quarter for Starbucks. They did warn, however, though, that like many other companies, coronavirus, they're temporarily shutting down over half of their stores in China, which is about 4,300 cafes. So they did put profit forecasts on hold, which caused the stock to fall 2% on their release. Moving on to Tesla, another solid quarter for Elon Musk. They were up 10% on their earnings release. Revenue of $7.3 billion, and they delivered a record 112,000 vehicles. So in the last 6 months, they have tripled in stock price. And then PayPal, earnings of 86 cents, beat by 3 cents. Revenue is up 17% year over year. Total payment volume for the quarter was just under $200 billion, which is up 22%. looking at Venmo, they released numbers for active Venmo accounts, came in at 52 million in the fourth quarter. So that's a 12 million increase from last April. And then transactions and new accounts were up 14 and 21%. Although initially falling on weak guidance, the stock did recover from down 7% and ended the day down 2%. So to cover tech earnings, I'm going to hand it over to Adam.
Hold on, before you do that, though, you talked about Tesla. The commercial yesterday for Porsche's electric car. So first off, what'd you think of the commercial?
I actually missed the commercial.
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty good. It was a great chase. But the car, so I'm curious if you guys have an opinion on that car and how it's going to compete with Tesla, what it means for Tesla for 2020.
So everything that I've read on reviews of the car is that they beat all the complaints of Tesla. The complaints of Tesla is that it's a high-end technological car, but a low-end quality materials car. A lot of things kind of shake around in the car, stuff like that. Where Porsche is coming in is in that luxury bucket. Everything's super nice, well put together, you know, fine leathers everywhere, that kind of thing. So price points don't really match up very well. Performance is better overall.
For Porsche.
Yes, for Porsche, primarily because what Tesla has not been able to figure out or adjust for is continual performance. You can get one, two, maybe three runs out of it, and then it automatically shuts itself down.
But it's still 0 to 60 in a nanosecond.
Right? Nanosecond. Both are pretty much a nanosecond. But the difference is that, and why Porsche was able to go around the Nürburgring, and Tesla still hasn't been able to do it, even though Musk came out and said, I'm going to do it, and he still hasn't come out with numbers, is because the Tesla just can't go that long at those kind of speeds.
All right.
So anyway, it's kind of tough to put them, they're not apples to apples, because, I mean, the Porsche is going to be about 50 grand more than the Tesla. But great car.
They all seem like vanity vehicles anyway.
Yeah, they are.
Go ahead.
So yeah, on the earnings front, Microsoft and Apple, kind of proof that the size of your market cap doesn't put a cap on how much you can grow. Apple earnings, very, very solid. Really saw strength out of wearables and services. Those have been the themes we've been playing here, is that the growth in services would allow them to kind of cross-sell to other applications. And then same goes for, it seems like they have a really strong focus on getting consumers to not just buy the phone, which is important. So you're seeing AirPods really take off. The watch, 75% of purchases were first-time buyers of the watch. So you're seeing new entrants there, where obviously the cell phone part of their portfolio is a little more mature. But overall, Apple was really, really strong. And then Microsoft, keeps blowing the cover off the ball with their Azure cloud services. It was up 62% year over year. And despite that, back on Amazon, who saw Amazon Web Services still do pretty well, but the growth in Amazon Web Services was 34%. So you can see Microsoft is really just killing that part of the market. So strong earnings out of the two of those. Those are some of our top five positions in our equity portfolio, the large cap blend. And then Facebook. If you just looked at what the stock did, you'd say, wow, those earnings must have been terrible. I would say not really. The earnings were pretty good. They actually beat expectations. They just didn't beat expectations as much as they usually do. Earnings or revenue was up 34%, which I think anyone would say is really good. The problem was that costs came in a little higher than expected. And then some of the dialogue in the conference call was that they were entering, quote unquote, a mature part of their business cycle. What I would say is that that may be true, but they are adding a lot of different applications and they're able to monetize better. And going into an election season where advertising spending is through the roof on Facebook, we actually added to the position on that outlook that the reason the costs were up is because they're getting ready for the infrastructure. If you remember last election season, there were some issues with Facebook and manipulation. So they're covering for that, and I think you're going to see a lot of ad spend that's going to push the stock higher.
Mm. You were talking about Apple and the wearables, the watch. The favorite app I think in my family is the walkie-talkie on the phone. And my daughters and wife use it all the time. It's hysterical. All right, Freddie, back to you.
Yep. So to cover a few changes that we made in our models last week, these are for our WCM tactical models. We sold our position in the American Funds Euro Pacific Growth Fund. That's ticker AEGFX. And we added to our position in the Vanguard All World XUS ETF. That's ticker VEU. At an expense ratio of 9 bips, solid returns versus the category average while still holding the exposure to the giant cap companies of Hong Kong mainly. We felt the Vanguard ETF is a much better play than the Euro-Pacific Growth Fund. So this was a swap we did across our growth and income, balanced, moderate, and capital preservation strategies. And additionally, in our WCM tactical models, we sold our position in the Jensen Quality Growth Fund, and we used the proceeds for an add to the Schwab Dividend Growth ETF. So although we liked Jensen's screening method and diversification to large cap companies we don't normally hold, we felt that their expense ratio of 87 bips doesn't warrant the performance they've had against the S&P. And their top 10 holdings, making up 55% of the fund, holding companies like 3M, which usually we choose to avoid. We felt the dividend equity ETF would provide similar performance with additional income, all while reducing our expense ratio. So those are the two moves we made in the previous week. And with that, I'll turn it over to Adam on fixed income.
Sure. Greg kind of alluded to this, but rates are the story. Last week, down big, the 30-year dipped below 2%. It actually ended the day on Friday right at 2%. Now we're up a little bit today. I think it's a 203. Markets seem to kind of be moving back in the green, generally with equity markets up. But 2019 is obviously in the rearview mirror, so the euphoria is kind of dwindling. But when we look at global rates, it's the same story. So obviously everything around the coronavirus is moving to a risk-off trade. So we saw negative yielding debt increase to $14 trillion last week. The peak was $17 trillion, but we had gotten below $12 trillion before all of this. So we're seeing a move back towards more negative interest rates. And if you look at the slope of the U.S. curve, as Greg was saying, it puts a lot of pressure on the Fed to lower rates because you got a Fed funds rate, in the 150s, and you've got the 2-year bond at a 130. So we're pretty well inverted with Fed funds rate. So a lot of pressure there to lower rates for sure.
2s and 5s are inverted right now as well.
Yeah. So Charlie, you can talk about high yield.
Yep. So obviously with risk off, U.S. high yield had a pretty bad week. The coronavirus has continued to dominate the landscape. The index widened out 35 bips. Triple C's carried the brunt of that. So double B's are back in the lead. With triple B's positive total return that supported our short duration high yield strategy pretty well. Year to date, we are outperforming the high yield 1 to 5 year cash pay index. The strategy is well suited for any clients looking for higher levels of income while pairing off interest rate risk. So it looks like the opportunity for the down on quality trade is starting to pop its head up. The spread between single Bs and double Bs is now over 150 bips. But spreads in general are still too tight really to remain anything but defensive. With the coronavirus and adverse effect on global growth, I would look for spreads between single Bs and double Bs to get over 200 bips. Until then, I would suggest still remaining defensive in double B names, and especially in stable sectors like consumer staples. Ball Corporation is a good example of a name that still should hold tight in high yield. And then I will touch on energy markets a little bit as well. So same story, pretty bad week. Oil fell about 5% last week and natural gas fell about 3%. Like I said earlier, this is the worst start of the year for energy prices since 1991. China's been a key driver of oil demand, so we should expect this to kind of continue. OPEC Plus has suggested that it's going to support the market by cutting supply, but the timing on that remains in question. The energy sector ETF is down 12% year to date, with large integrated companies such as Exxon, Royal Dutch Shell, and Chevron all underperforming the ETF as a whole. Those companies reported earnings last week, giving either mixed or missed results. Top line results have repeatedly been under pressure as prices negatively impact downstream, but earnings have held in pretty close to where estimates have been, basically on cutting costs, which is going back. I haven't seen if those companies are on the layoff list, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think right now we are.
So let me close with a couple thoughts. So with our model, the themes in our models right now are increasing the dividend. We want to increase the income flowing through the portfolios. So next week, we're going to talk about changes to the core series, as well as how to invest in generate income in this market. So increasing dividend income, we want to reduce investment expenses, which Freddie highlighted with some of the swaps we did in the tactical allocation. Those are designed to really reduce expenses in our investment strategies. We want to be compensated for the risk, and we've struggled with entry points in developed and EM particularly, and this may be an entry point for us on the EM side with the decline in China. So we're looking at that closely. We are light in high yield, and this goes back to being compensated for the risk because of the spread tightening. So in our models, we're pretty light in the whole high yield space. And I think in spite of the down in quality trade that Charlie talked about, we'll probably stay light this quarter in that area. So with that, something to think about: betting on the Academy Awards is legal in Indiana. So there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. So you have until, I think, Friday to place your bet with through any of those apps, FanDuel. So we are legal. All right, you guys, have a great week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.